When getting help to correct areas of weakness in your life, try not to be defensive. That's our key sentence as we welcome you to the Sermon Coach podcast for today. I'm your host, Dean Wilson. We're talking with Dr. David Maines, the executive director of SermonCoach.com. It's our desire to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. David, if I may, I'd like to read part of a preaching tip you posted a while back and then ask you a few questions about it, okay?
I'm all for that. Go ahead.
Okay, here's the preaching tip. It's entitled, How Did He Do That? This past Sunday, I was once again made aware of how preaching is more of a miracle than we generally realize. It was my privilege to attend church with someone who was hurting spiritually. Where we went was his choice. I had never been there before, and neither had he. His pick of a place was made on a recommendation from a friend of his. If I had preached a sermon based on the needs of the friend, I could hardly have been more on target than the message given by the pastor of this small congregation. It was as though someone had filled him in regarding my friend's needs. The pastor had not only chosen an appropriate text to preach, but sometimes literally the very words he spoke touched the needs of my friend. It was uncanny. If I explained this experience to a non-believer, such a person might call it mere coincidence. But my belief is that in answer to this pastor's prayer for divine help during his sermon preparation, and my prayers for where to take an acquaintance to church but not knowing a place to suggest that was near his home, the Holy Spirit acted in a way that was beyond what mere humans could orchestrate. God not only answered our prayers, but met my friend's need to hear a word from the Lord that would speak into his heart in a spectacular fashion. I relate this incident because I believe the Lord is actively pulling off such miracles Sunday after Sunday, and only eternity will reveal the whole of what he is doing time and again all around the globe. Were you writing this to yourself, David, or to your readers?
I was probably writing it to both, Dean. It was to me, because I was very concerned about my friend. I was dumbstruck by how incredible this was. You know, there was no collusion between me and the pastor. I didn't even know the pastor. And yet, I'm sure he had no idea what was going on. But this miracle was happening. So I'm aware that a lot of times I'm the speaker, and it's very important that I be sensitive to the Lord and that I find myself in a position where he can use me as an instrument. But I think it's also possible for any minister of a local congregation, after a while, it becomes a job. It's a job like whether you're a punch press operator or whether you're a bus driver or whatever, and you get used to it and you miss the miracle that goes on. And I was just trying to remind whoever was reading, even as I was reminding myself, that to be called to be a follower of Jesus Christ is to still be a part of the miracles that happen. So, yeah, I was aware of that even being a message for me at the time.
Do you feel pastors are defensive about a subject like their preaching?
I think that if pastors preach very well, they probably aren't. All of us are sensitive to criticism, you know. And because we're not God and we don't see everything that's happening, there's a certain insecurity that goes on. I sometimes will really pray over a message that I'm going to preach and then deliver it, and then I don't get any feedback. So it makes me wonder really what was going on. I'm not looking for feedback that says, you are really one incredible preacher. I'm not looking for that. There was a time when I used to, I have to say that. But I'm looking for those evidences that God is at work in a special way. You don't always hear those. People don't always tell you what is happening. Sometimes you hear what happened maybe 2 or 3 years later, and you can't even remember what you said. So there isn't that regular awareness of what I wrote about in the article. And when you don't have that the way you want it, it tends to build a certain amount of insecurity within you. So are pastors insecure about their preaching? I would say that most pastors are. I would also say that anytime people begin to poke at what you're doing, you can be very sensitive. And it's hard. My wife said the other day, David, you could be a very attractive older man if you just lost your stomach not being quite as big. And she knew when she said it that that's a very sensitive area for me. And now the truth is, she's exactly right. I'm not sure I would be a very attractive old man except in her sight, but it would be to my advantage if that happened. The truth is, I haven't been able to make that happen for a long time, so I'm sensitive about it. Whenever you get in a person's area of sensitivity, and I think that because as ministers, we are trying to work in the supernatural, and we feel inadequate in the supernatural. We're just not giving a lecture like somebody's talking about a science project or something. So we need the feedback of what God is doing. And when we don't have that, that makes us really wonder. So yeah, I think that because preaching is such a huge part of a minister's life, that is an area where most people are insensitive. And when you talk to them about changes, you have to be very careful because you're poking. It's like there's a boil and you're kind of poking around the boil, and you have to be careful with that.
Do you think we're sensitive when we make these podcasts?
I can't speak for you, so I guess you'll have to speak for you. I am not as sensitive as I would be were a pastor sitting here at the table with us, because I would be able to read his body language and see whether he was backing up or whether he was receiving this and saying this is very helpful. So not having someone with us, not being able to tell how they're responding, means that we can just go right on talking. And in that sense, I probably am insensitive, more so than what I would be if that person were in the conversation with us. If we were in a restaurant talking, I would be able to pick up from that person whether I wanted to push a point anymore or whether I wanted to back away and say, I've hit something here that is a nerve that I'm going to have to leave alone. And he's not asking for more. He's not asking for me to keep coming and coming at him. He's basically saying by his words or his body language, move away, let's talk about baseball. That's how I would respond to it. We're at a disadvantage because we're doing this ourselves, and we're probably more sensitive to what we are saying and how we're going to, because we're not scripted, what's going to happen next, and am I ready to talk to that? We know each other pretty well, so I think we work off of each other pretty well. What are your thoughts? Are you sensitive to the ministers who might be listening?
I think I feel hopefully sensitive because I feel that in many ways, ministers are like islands in this vast ocean. Most ministers, I think, are far more isolated by the nature of their calling than most people that aren't full-time Christian workers. And I think some of that has to do with the fact that it is a spiritual immersion that takes place in a pastor's life, or at least it can become that and perhaps should be that. I also think that there is a feeling that some pastors have, maybe many pastors have. I've known a lot of pastors over the course of my life. I think we talked about that before. I toted up one time all the pastors, and I came up with over 300 names that I know directly. And I've sensed a lot of times that pastors feel isolated to some degree, and also there is a specialness because they are spending so much time actually ministering, studying the word, and so forth. So I try to recognize that hopefully what we can bond through this podcast experience with a pastor is letting the pastor know that he or she is not alone, that there are other people, in your case, someone who's been in ministry his entire life and has had a wide variety of ministry in the local church, in a parachurch organization when you started out with Youth for Christ, in the local church, in fact, starting a local church, church planting, and then all the years that you've been in radio and television, and now in your retirement years, focusing specifically on helping pastors. And then in my case, a layman, to be sure, but at the same time, a layman who's been immersed in ministries, helping ministries, consulting with them, working with them, and now participating in a new church plant. I would like the pastors to feel that we are a safe haven where they can come and hear some folks talk that have a sensitivity to what they may need. It would be better if we could just gather whoever's listening around us at a table, but this is an alternative where that's just not possible. So I guess I feel that we can be sensitive, and if we come across as insensitive, that's not our intention at all.
Yeah, well said. I'm relating to your words very much.
Is it possible, David, for a preacher who needs help to make changes and the process of making changes not to be painful?
I guess it's possible. It's not usually what happens.
Yeah, most change is painful.
It's painful, yeah. You're talking about changing habits, making yourself secure. If you ask me, am I comfortable with my generation? I would say yes. If you ask me, am I comfortable with the new generation coming up, the millennials? I'm not nearly as comfortable with them. They don't know who I am. They don't relate to the things I relate to because they didn't live those same years. If you ask me whether I would like to do a series of messages at a high school, I would probably say that's hard for me. I'm not sure I can speak that language. So anything that is a change or different from what you've always done, it's difficult. But I probably wouldn't answer on that basis. I would probably say, let me take it and pray about it for a while. There are times when I've turned things down because I just didn't think it was the right fit. But there are also times when I have chosen to say yes because I felt the Lord was prompting me. Sometimes I felt the Lord was prompting me and I still found it very difficult, because it was new ground for me. It's always a tension. I would say that a minister listening to our podcast over a period of time would say, those buzzards, I like them. I think they're good people, but they drive me nuts sometimes.
Maybe being a goad is a good thing. When Paul got stopped on the road to Damascus, it was the Lord himself who was the goad in
That's
Paul's
right.
life, wasn't it?
That's so. Right. So let's hope that we're on the Lord's side.
When getting help to correct areas of weakness in your life, try not to be defensive. That's our message for our podcast today, and we're so glad you were here to listen to it and join with us. You found our sermoncoach.com podcast at our website, sermoncoach.com. That's sermon-coach.com. We invite you to browse through the rest of our website where we have resources specifically designed to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons, and also to give pastors a sense of safe haven, a place where they can go and feel wanted and needed and respected. And as we always do, we invite you to join us for our next SermonCoach.com podcast.